Deuteronomy 17, and we're going to read back over a little bit of something that we preached on last week, but again, just to get the context and then pick up with where we'll be looking at this morning. So Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he shall multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So now, to this morning, verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Thank you, Father, for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us and guide us, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name, and please for his sake. Amen. Okay, y'all can be seated. Okay. Deuteronomy 17, verse number 18, the Bible says that in verse 18, it shall be when he, meaning the king, because God has anticipated that the children of Israel will get to a place where they will want a king. And they did. They'd gone through the judges. They got to the place they wanted a king. God anticipated that ahead of time. And he said, when you come to that place that you're going to want a king, here's the criteria. He's going to have to be one among your brethren. Not to multiply horses to himself, not to multiply wives, greatly multiply silver and gold. Then he says in verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. So notice, the king was to have his own copy of the law in a book, evidently written by himself. Now at this time, listen, there would just have been the law. There would just have been at this time the law. And by the time they got ready for a king, it would have been, you know, the books of the law. Joshua, about how they came into the land and such as that. And then they had started sending to the judges. But you would have had, you know, the law. The law he's speaking of here. Like those first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, that encompasses there the law. That was to be with him. And evidently it had to be written by himself. Look what it says. It says, verse 18, it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. Now, maybe he had a scribe do it. But if we take it for what it says, it says, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. Listen, first thing I want you to notice this morning is this. Having the word of God is a royal, kingly privilege.
Amen.
It is a royal privilege. It is a kingly privilege to be able to have the word of God. And you and I would do well to so often and today give thanks unto God that we are able to have a copy of the Word of God in our hands. You know, there was a time in the middle of the ages to where maybe a community, a village would have one Bible. And that would be chained to the pulpit of the church so nobody would steal it. Because if that got gone, they wouldn't even have one. And now today you have, well, brethren, how easy it is to get a copy of the Word of God in our language, have it to study, to read therein all the days of our life. It's a kingly privilege, and it's also a kingly responsibility. It's not just a privilege, and a great privilege it is, but a kingly responsibility. Notice from what the scripture just flat out tells us, he was to write it, then read it. He was to write it, then read it. Brethren, using all the senses, all the senses, to take in the Word of God is profitable. Different ways of taking in the Word of God allows you very often to see things you never saw before. Different exposures reveal different aspects. I think exposure and aspects have to do even with photography and how you take things in. But I'll say this. Different exposures to the Word of God reveal different aspects of Scripture. We would do well to exercise ourselves in these various ways. Reading silently. Reading aloud. Hearing it read. Writing it out. Studying it. And above all, again, obeying it. But I'm serious. If we would try to incorporate different ways of exposing ourselves to the Word of God, in doing so, very often we see things in a different light. All those things it seems like photography and all the things come into my mind. There are those things. And different things are revealed. I've seen that in my life. I've had a passage to where I've read it to myself, but sometimes reading out loud, whoa, I never saw that before. And hearing it. Sometimes I'll be hearing it, and I'm like, whoa, I never. And then there's something about writing it. There's something about writing it out. And you know, if we would take and try to incorporate those different ways in going through the Word of God, I bet. I don't know nothing about photography, that's for sure. But boy, as I was saying this, photography came into my mind because aspects, different things seen in a different light, things that are revealed, exposures, you know, all those things. And you know, you can see something. You get a photograph, you see something in a different light, you see something from the different things come out. They do. There's things that become clear, things that were obscure, things that all those things. And such is it with that living book. I know I've seen that in my life. I really have. I really have seen that happen. And you know, if you and I would work at, okay, hearing, just hearing. Get your good Bible on tape. Just hearing. Read it silently. But then sometimes maybe just read it aloud. Find you some place, just read it aloud, you know. Maybe writing it out. Did you know there have been secular studies done that have proven that you retain something better writing it out rather than typing it out? I'm just saying. There were studies that have been done that have shown that you retain better when you write it out rather than when you just type it out. I don't know. I mean, and people are different. I use a computer and like that, but I've had, for me, everybody's different, but it's always worked better for me to write out my note. Now, I guess that means I can only decipher them. And sometimes even I have a little trouble with that. Luke came up the other day and he just shook his head, I think. He just was like, wow. And Sarah threatened through the years to teach me their writing course, their handwriting course. I probably should have done it, sure enough. I can make it out pretty good, all right? But it's bad, all right? But it helps me retain. It really does. And supposedly studies have been shown that when you write it out, you do get it better than if you just type it out. But I'm just saying, these are different ways to expose ourselves to the Word of God. And I believe in so doing, the Spirit of God will bring something to you in a manner, and you'll see it in a different light or in a different manner than you did before. It happens all the time. I believe that's why it happens a lot of times as there's preaching going on, and you've read the passage, but all of a sudden, hadn't you ever been like, God just showed you something? Maybe not even be able to go on what was being put, but you saw something. And I'll tell you, if you're smart, write it down when you, because I'm telling you, brother, if you try to remember it, you're probably going to forget it. Write that thing down so you don't forget that. So just different ways, brethren, different ways of exposing ourselves to the Word of God helps us see things in a different light, reveals different aspects there. All right. And then, above all, obeying it. God gives us light from Scripture. God gives us understanding that we might then obey it. It's not enough. We're fooling ourselves if we simply hear it, but don't try and strive to put it into practice and do what it is that God shows us. God just doesn't give us nuggets and things to be like, well, hi, how about that? No, He gives it to be applied to our lives, to be put into practice. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, and it shall be with him. So he was to write him a copy out in a book. And then that book was to be with him. Nothing real deep, nothing real hard here, but it's very important. Have the Word of God with you as much as possible at all times. Seriously. And if you, listen, if the Bible you like to carry to church or study with or like that, then get you something else. Get you another one that you feel good about carrying around. Come on. Brother, sometimes the things, even if that meant you had to, skimp on groceries a little bit to save up for it, you can do that. And I bet you wouldn't even have to. I mean, what I'm saying is, brother, we could probably afford to get us a Bible that we would feel, that's right to tote around with me, to take with me. I mean, one that you can always, that you can take with you. And you've heard me say it before, just let me say it one more time. Brethren, some of the best studying God has ever given me has been in waiting rooms. It has. God's just given me some of the best studying He's ever given me in waiting rooms. Because I believe what it is, I think He saw that I was trying to do what He said when He says, redeem the time for the days are evil. And I believe He just said, I'm going to bless you for it. There's other things you could look at and do. And I'm not saying those things would be necessarily wrong. But the Lord says, you're trying to redeem your time, son. Instead of taking your time and read, you're trying to take this time in the waiting room and you're trying to redeem it. And I'm going to bless you for it. I've just seen Him do it. I've done it in tire places and car places and hospitals and all kinds of waiting rooms. And just break my Bible out, notebook, and just start reading. And God just blesses it. I've just seen Him do it. So the king, it's a kingly privilege. And you know what? The Bible says He made us kings and priests. He's made us kings and priests. So it was to be with Him. So that book that He had copied the law out of was to be with Him. And He was to have it there with Him so He had access to it. By the grace of God, have your Bible with you. Put it in something. Have it around. So if you've got a couple of minutes, if you've got some time, boy, you got it right there. Or if somebody asks you a question, or if someone asks you, you got it right there you can go to. We definitely have the ability to do that today. That's for sure. And I tell you what, it speaks volumes about you. Because people see that book, they see that Bible, and they automatically... I tell you what, look here. Really, you could go out there, you could go to Intersection Monk's Corner and hold your Bible up and not even say a word, and you're going to get a reaction. Mark her down. Some people are going to come by and give you a thumbs up and say, amen. Some people are going to spit at you. Some people are going to yell at you. You won't even have to say anything. They're going to assume what you're saying. I remember one time down in Charleston, and I was just quoting scripture, and one guy came by. Unconditional love, unconditional love. He had not heard one word I said. Not one word. And I was not quoting anything that was very controversial. Everything, for all he knew, I could have been talking about the love of God. But you know what? He assumed. Yeah. Because you know what? That Bible gets exalted, and they know that that book deals with also their sin. Seriously, just they know that. There's power there. And it's important to have it with you. So it says, it shall be with him. Look what it says next. And he shall read therein all the days of his life. Wow. So it wasn't enough just to have it. Wasn't just enough to tuck it under his arm. Wasn't just enough to have it. Supposed to read it. How much? One time? All the days of his life. Brethren, it needs to be the word. Listen, don't try to keep a tally of how many times you read your Bible through. Don't try to keep a tally of it. Just read it all your life. Or you'd even lose count. Don't try to keep a tally on that thing. Just do it. And when you finish it, go through it again. And when you finish it, go through it again. And when you finish, there have been books I've read through my years that I enjoyed and read them more than once. But usually if I read a book and read it again, I've got to give it maybe a year or two. You know, I got to give it a period of time. I don't know if I've ever had a book that I wanted to read it right again as soon as I got through it. Maybe after a couple of years. That book is alive.
Yes, sir.
That book is amazing. You understand me? It's got the stamp of God Almighty and His Spirit upon it. Because I've never seen it like it. That's the only book I've ever seen. And brother, I'm a reader. I like to read. It's the only book I have ever seen. I can go through it back to back and go through it and go through it. And it never gets old. And I'm always learning something from it. And the depth of it is unfathomable. It is amazing. You understand me? Amazing. It is so amazing, it's almost scary. I mean, that book is alive. It is the words of the living God. No other book is like it. It's not. I've read through about half or three quarters of the Quran, and it's like, and I'm being honest. I'm not being rhetorical. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm being honest. It's like, wow, are you serious? There's no comparison. There's none. That book's alive. That King James Bible has the anointing and touch of Almighty God upon it. I believe that. Yea, verily, I know that. And you go through the Quran, and it's just nothing. This is nothing other than confusion. That book's got power. That book's got power. And you can read it and go through it again and go through it again and go through it again and go through it, and it just never gets old. You know what it's like? You know what it's like? You know what it's like when you read your Bible, when you pray and read your Bible? You know what it's like? It's almost like you're reliving in a very real spiritual sense the multiplying of the loaves and fishes. Because there it is, and you read it, but there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And you can look at a verse and think that you got that verse down, and yet there's more, and then there's more, and then there's more, and there's more. It's unbelievable. Any man that thinks that he's got it down, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You ain't gonna master that book. The key is it mastering you and me. That's why, brother, you can't go and go simply, there it is. God, I can pull this out anytime. Here we go. No, it adapts itself because it's alive to the need of the hour as we let God direct us. It's like a loaves and fishes. It's there, it multiplies, and there it goes. It's treasure. Treasure. Thank God so much for giving us His Word. Thank God so much for giving us His Word. Wow. I mean, I'd have nothing to give y'all if it wasn't for that. I ain't got nothing you need. That book does. It's absolutely amazing. And it just defies description, to be honest with you. For to read, the king was to read therein every day, all the days of his life. All the days of his life. And that's what you and I are to do. To read therein all the days of our life. In fact, think about it. He was to read therein all the days of his life the law. Wow. You've got the law. The prophets, you know, the wisdom books, Psalms. You got the New Testament. You got the prophetical book. Wow. What a varied, I mean, just, it's a smorgasbord. It is. It is just, it's just like it's this great smorgasbord of food laying out there. The Bible refers to itself as, you know, fruit and honey and bread and, you know, milk and meat. And it's just everything. It's just everything you need to live, to have life. I mean, he was supposed to do this with the law. I mean, can you imagine? All his life. Read through the law. All his life, read through the law. Man, you got the accounts of the kings and the judges. You know, Indeed, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and Chronicles. Wow. You got these historical accounts. You know, not, of course, not just history, you know, but part of the Bible is history of Ezra and Nehemiah that come back into the land. You know the things there. Yeah. But you got these wisdom books, huh? Huh? You got Psalms. Wow. Those, and not only to be read and glean knowledge from, but to be sung, if you've got that ability. You know, put it in music and sing these Psalms. Wow. You want to know about married love? You got a love song put in there. Song. Wow. You need wisdom about, you know, finances and your life and warning you about the day. Oh, your Proverbs. Wow. Your chapter of them, you know, for a month, you know, each month, every day, you know. Wow, you got the prophets to show what's ahead, what's coming, history written ahead of time. You know, the New Testament, the Gospels, Christ revealed, our Revelation, everything summing up. Genesis, how it all... Wow! Wow! He had the law that he's supposed to read therein. You. What? Man, what kind of kings are we? No, I'm serious. He was... come on, man. We got the whole shebang. Yes, sir. And to go through all that. Wow. Brethren. Never. It's always going to be varied. Always going to feed you. It's always. Boy, and the devil's going to do everything. He's going to say, you didn't read that before. Same old thing. Same old. He knows. If you'll devote yourself to it. Think of another aspect, exposure to it to get it in. He knows you're going to glean from it. He knows the power of it. He wants to deter you any way he can. Again, he had the law, you got the whole book. So it says, verse 19, it shall be with him. So you got to have it with you. He shall read therein. You got to read it all the days of your life. Not up to your certain age and then you stop. Not saying, okay, I've reached, you know, 75 years. Oh, no. You can go to 80. I mean, you never stop. And again, brethren, if you really love that book like you ought and are into it, you realize it would be a foolish thing to go in. Well, I've read it through so many times. You're like, that don't matter because you never stop with it. You never stop. It's not like a notch in the belt of saying, I'm saying I've got to do it. No, it's like it's my life. I absorb myself with it. Look at this. So it says that he may. So the reason he was to spend time in the Word of God, there was certain things it would do for him and for others. That he may, first thing was, learn to fear the Lord his God. Amen. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Reading the Bible will teach you to fear the Lord in truth, which is safe. Go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Read it. You know, and there are all kinds of different plans and ways that people have to read the Bible. And that's fine, as long as you're actively trying to do it. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with just the old-fashioned, plain-out way of reading it, Genesis to Revelation. Amen. I mean, seriously, nothing wrong with doing that. And if you find some other way, that's fine. As long as you're in there reading it, we're getting the whole, just get it all. Even the begats. Mm-hmm. Even the begats. There's a reason for it. Even the begats and even the words you don't understand and, you know, and you know, as far as trying to pronounce them and just do the whole thing. Just get it all. So Brother Dahl say, man, I sometimes get sleepy and about fall asleep. Yeah, I know it. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you're going to fall asleep. You're going to fall asleep. Can't help it. But that's a good way to fall asleep. That's a good way to fall asleep. I mean, it's going to be. They say, Brother Dahl, so what do you do when you just feel like I'm just reading it. I ain't getting nothing from it. Read it. Amen. I'm tired and I'm just reading the words. Good, you're reading them. I can't explain it. But if you're saved, I think you know what I'm talking about. I found it amazing at times to where the Holy Ghost will bring a passage to my remembrance. And I'm like, where in the world did that come from? Where in the world? You know, I exposed myself. I had read it. It ain't a verse I'd memorized, but I'd read it, and the Holy Ghost is bringing it. He's bringing it back. Listen, you're getting something from it, even if you don't think you are. You're exposing yourself to the Word of God. It's good. Proverbs 19, it's safe. Proverbs 19, verse 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You know what the Bible says? The king was supposed to read the word of God to keep him in the fear of the Lord. So listen, if you'll stay in the scriptures, it'll keep you in the fear of God. I'm going to tell you right now, and now brethren, I'm going to tell you, if you stay away from the scriptures, you're going to be inching towards sin. Yep. Now you just are. There is something about staying in your Bible that has a tendency to suppress and help suppress sin in your life. I didn't say to keep you. I didn't say you're not going to steal sin. I didn't say that, but it's going to help keep that thing down. It's going to help keep you in the fear of the Lord. There's just something so safe and good and right about spending time in the scriptures. Well, the Bible said for the king, it would teach him the fear of the Lord. He would learn to fear the Lord his God. Learn to fear by spending time in the scriptures. Go to Proverbs 22. And it would benefit him. The fear of the Lord benefits you. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord, riches and honor and life. Hey, the eternal kind. The kind that's on the other side. Sometimes in this life, but mainly on the other side. All right. What else will it do for him? Look at Deuteronomy 17. Look at verse 19. It says that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and the statutes, to do them. See, it's not enough to hear or read. We must obey. We must keep and do. Go to Psalm 119. And I know you're familiar with these passages we're looking at right now, but we'll just look at them again. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. You know what's sad is the number of people we have in our churches today, all across this land, that have never read their Bible all the way through. Never read their Bible all the way through. Now listen, if that's the case of somebody in here or listening on recording, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm really not. I'm not trying to say, I'm just saying, start doing it though. Just get on it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not concerned about, you have to come tell me, and I'm not gonna look at you, tisk, tisk. I'm just saying it is sad that it takes place, but sometimes it does. But let's do something about it. Let's do something about it. Let's get in the habit of going through, and what a blessing the first time you make it all the way through that book. And it's just a lifetime start. But what a blessing that first time. You can do it. You've done it. Now you can do it. And just stay. You say, Brother Dawson, I'm not a good reader. You'll become a better one by reading your Bible. You'll become a better one. I never will forget about 30 years ago reading about two fellas who got saved in prison, and they applied for the prison high school diploma program. But it was already filled up. Excuse me. They had applied for the program and it was filled up. Between the next session, which was like 6 months later or something, they got saved. And all they had was a King James Bible. Somebody got them grounded on the Word. They got a King James Bible, and they got in that King James Bible. When they retested, they tested out 12th grade level on a lot of things. They did. When they retested, all they had was a Bible. That book did something for them. It really did. See, I'm not a good reader. Reading your Bible will make you a better reader. It'll help you. Read it out loud sometimes. Read it out loud. Just try to take the time to go through. I mean, it just help you. Look here. But it's to be obeyed. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Wow, how'd you do that? How'd you pull that one? For thy testimonies are my meditation. You have a hard time sleeping sometime at night? Well, find one of them hard passages you ain't got figured out and just think on it. You'll go to sleep in no time. Just find one of them hard passages you sound like and just start trying to figure that thing out in your mind. Sleep will probably come. No, just meditate on it. Think on it. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. So part of learning the Bible is keeping the Bible, obeying the Bible. Don't expect God to give you more if you won't obey what he's already given you. strive to be obedient to what you have already learned, and you look for God to give you more. Go to James 1, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1 verse 21. James 1 verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What's that? If we do what? If we're doers and not merely hearers. Because if all we do is merely hear the word and not make application, not strive to put it into practice, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. So it was to be, the word was to be there so that he would learn to fear the Lord and to keep. Not just to read, but to put it into practice, to keep it, to fear the Lord and to keep it. Look what it says. Look what else the purpose is. Look what it says in verse 20. Look what it says in verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Wow. Do you know what reading and spending time in the Word of God will do for you and I? It will keep us humble. Hey, it'll keep that king humble. Because think about it. What that king, what did he need? Because he was a king. What did he need? Humility. That king needed some humility. Because, come on, you're a king. You're exalted. You sit on this throne. You have this position. And look, whatever's going on, I don't know if the devil's trying to take and hinder things. I'm seriously, or whatever like that. Or the legit, it's going to be fine. We'll just keep going. We're fine. We're fine. We'll get all worked out. He's a king. What does a king need? Humility. Because it'd be real easy to get lifted up. It'd be real easy to get in that position and get yourself feeling above everybody and get yourself to where, you know what? You'd abuse your position. Did you know that in the book of Ezekiel, talking about the millennial kingdom, that the Bible warns, even in the millennium, the Bible warns the king, because, you know, there's going to be ruling taking place. Christ is going to be on the throne, being above all. But David will be ruling. There'll be other. The Bible warns in Ezekiel, the prince and the king, to not abuse the people. Warns of that even in the millennial time period. Because it's easy for a king to misuse that power. Look at David. You know what I bet you it happened? I'm not saying it did. I just said I bet you. I wonder if David laid off a little bit of his Bible reading. Because you know what? Reading that Bible will keep you humble. And David felt he could take a man's wife. He was a king. Things been going good. Things been going his way. And he took a man's wife. Now we paid a price for it. I think Solomon laid off reading the scriptures. Because you know what? If he'd have been reading like it ought to, he wouldn't have done the things and obeying, reading and obeying, he wouldn't have done the things that he did. Listen, by reading the scriptures, it'll keep you and I humble. And listen, we have got to stay humble before the Lord. Because pride is so deadly and dangerous. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Brethren, if we get lifted up for pride, we're on the way down. You know that, right? We get lifted up for pride, we're on the way down. Well, Proverbs 16, thank you, Jimmy. Look at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So you need humility. Well, what, you know, the Bible says a way to get humility? Stay in the scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. You know what they'll do? They'll keep you humble. Keep you humble. It'll keep you right. It'll keep you humble down there. It'll keep you as you ought to be. Take your Bible. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Verse 12. Matthew 23, verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So, brethren, the way for destruction is to be lifted up. The way for God to bless you, the way for God to use you is to stay humble, to stay low. What enables you to do that? Time of the Scriptures. What does it say? That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Man, brethren. You know, any time, look, again, he's a king. He's a king. But those other people that he's ruling over, they're his brethren. They're his brethren. They're people of Israel. They're his brethren. He's a king from among them. He's not careful to get on his high horse. Let me tell you something. If a pastor does not stay in reading his Bible, if he doesn't stay reading his Bible, his heart will get lifted up above his brethren. And he'll forget that, listen, that's his brethren. He just, okay, there's a position there, but he's just, you know, just a child of God like anybody else, and a saint. Boy, it's being a dangerous thing. Brethren, if we'll stay reading our Bible, it'll keep us humble. It'll keep us humble. See, look here. And reading therein. Just reading. Because you know what? If you're not careful, study can tempt you to pride. Think about that. I want you fellas to always remember what I'm going to tell you right now. That you got to study because you got to feed your family and those you minister to. You got to study. But study can tempt you toward pride. What's the corrective? What's the thing that'll balance it out? Reading. Yep. Reading. Just some old, good old Bible reading. Just reading your Bible will help balance that thing out and keep you humble. See, if it's all just study, that can lift you up a little bit. That can get you. But reading will be the corrective that balances that thing out and keeps you humble and keeps things where it ought to be. All right? Look what else it'll do. It says, verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. Do you know what reading would do for the king and for you and I? It'll keep him balanced. It'll keep him balanced. It'll keep the king, it'll keep you and I from, because it'll keep us centered, balanced. All right? Not too far to the left, not too far to the right. It'll keep us with that right balance. I tell you what to do. It'll keep somebody from becoming political instead of biblical. It'll do it. It'll do it. You find somebody that'll take and read their Bible and spend time reading their Bible, it will keep them from becoming political instead of biblical. Seriously. If you find a professing Christian who is more concerned about the political issues that are out there, more so, you'll find somebody's probably not spending the time reading as they ought or has been or need to be. It'll keep a balance. You'll know, not that you won't be aware of the things that are going on, but you know what I'm supposed to do when I leave? I'm supposed to pray for them. See, think about it. You get a man that becomes political. Why? He'll be tempted not to pray for a leader if it ain't from his party or ain't from his. But if you're biblical, you realize, well, no matter who's in a leader, I'm supposed to pray for them. It'll keep you right. It'll keep you right. It'll keep you balanced. It'll keep you from going to the right hand or the left. It's what it would do for the king. It's what it'll do for you and I. All right? Look what it says next. To the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. So, spending time in the Scriptures would prolong his days and allow him to finish his course. Go to Proverbs 10. Brethren, if you want to finish your course for Jesus, you've got to stay in those Scriptures. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. Proverbs 10, verse 27. Proverbs 10, 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. And remember, by reading his Bible, he would learn the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Go to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Man, you can die before your time. People say, I ain't going to die before your time. Well, you sure can. Yeah, you can. See, the way God wants it to happen, God wants you to get saved. He's got a course for you. He wants you to follow Him and finish the course. But if you get out of that, if you get out of that course and go your own way, you can die before your time. The Bible says it. You become overmuch wicked, you become foolish, you'll die before your time. God didn't intend for you to die at that time. He intended for you to finish your course. You followed your own way, die before your time. That's all God intended. It's not what He wanted. All right? So people, well, you know, you ain't going to die before your time. That's a statement of man. That's not a Bible statement. It's not a Bible statement. All right? And so, but if you'll stay in the Bible, it'll keep you centered, grounded, where you can finish up your course for the Lord. Go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Wow, listen, staying in the Word of God will help you finish up that course, help you prolong your days. Let me tell you something. Paul, the Bible said about Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You get a young and reading the Bible, it'll prolong their days as far as eternal life. It'll introduce them to the Savior. I mean, if the Holy Ghost can use anything, He can use Bible, huh? He can use Scripture, huh? Spirit of truth, the Word of truth. Yeah, that's why it's good. Have those children reading the Bible. That's how people used to learn how to read, was by the Bible. They learned to read by the Bible. Listen, taking and spending that time that we ought in the Scriptures. Well, there's Job said he considered God's words more than his necessary food. Is food necessary? Well, you know it is. But the Word of God is more necessary. We have the opportunity to have access to it. And so we need to spend time in it like we ought and reap all these benefits that are offered us in the Scriptures. Hey, I say this too. Have you a notebook with you when you read the Bible? When God shows you something, write it down. When you got a question about something, write it down. I mean, really. I love it when people will take us, hey, can I ask you this? It's what a pastor should desire to do. Somebody's got questions, they got them written down. Let's go over them, yeah. But do that, because you're liable to forget. You're liable to think, oh, I got that thing. I'll never forget that. Brethren, there have been times, brethren, I have thought, I'll never forget that thing. I got that. And you know what? I find myself the next day, Lord, give it back to me. Lord, what was that thing? Another thing. Well, you know what? I should have written it down. I should have found something. Make preparation. We're not supposed to make provision for the flesh. So let's make provision for spiritual things. Let's make provision so that we're ready when God gives us something. Man, we're ready to write it down. We're ready to got it. We're ready to put it down so we've got it down there. You know what writing it down will do for you? Since you wrote it, it helps retain it. Like, remember we discussed that earlier? And now you've got it somewhere. So you helped retain it in your mind better. So you got that aspect because you wrote it down and you got it on something. Just good. You're making provision for spiritual things. All right. What else is the benefit of spending time? Well, Proverbs 17, verse 20 says, he and his children. It says, prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children. So spending time in the Word of God will benefit your family. As daddy reads the book, the family will read daddy. Did you get me? Whole family ought to be reading, of course, but let me tell you something. As daddy reads that book, the family's going to read daddy. They're going to see, hopefully, the Word of God manifested and an example of it lived out in daddy's life. And they'll read daddy. And boy, you can't help but reap a wonderful benefit from that. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. Read the book, others will read you. Read the book, others will read you. I'll say it again. Read the book, others will read you. There's some people at your work, they ain't going to read the Bible. They need to read you. But they can't read you and be benefited unless you've got Bible in you. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You read that book, and it'll get imprinted on you, and then others will read you. Just as serious as I can be. Take your Bible. I go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Benefiting the family. Read that book. The Holy Ghost will imprint it on you, in your heart and in your life, and other people can read you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it. Genesis to Revelation, buddy. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I mean, there it is. It says, from a child thou hast known the whole Scripture, all Scripture given inspiration of God. Man, not just having it preached, just reading it, you're going to get doctrine. It'll reprove you as you read it. No greater reproof than the Bible itself giving it to you. Teach you doctrine. It'll prove you. It'll correct you. Give you instruction in righteousness. Why? To perfect you. So we'll be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right? And real quick, go to Job again. Job 36. Job 36. Job 36. See, from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures. From a child that was known the Holy Scriptures. See, well, what did we just read in Deuteronomy? That it would prolong the days of the king and his children, right? Prolong the days of the king and his children. Okay? Well, look at Job 36 and look at verse 13. But the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. If that king spent time in the Scriptures, it would help his children's days be prolonged. He reads a book, they'll read Daddy. From a child, it was Paul said to him, from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures. Well, you know what? Look, them youngins in Job speaking there, maybe it would have helped them out if they'd have been in the Holy Scriptures. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. It'll help young folks. Listen, it'll help a young person see Jesus for salvation. It'll give them practical help. Come on, Proverbs is written even before Christ came on the scene. Proverbs is Old Testament. That's just practical, good, sound stuff. Yeah, we make spiritual applications after we get saved by the Holy Ghost, but there's just practical, good stuff there. Folks, you can't go wrong. Saved, lost, old, young, male, female, husband, wife. You can't go wrong by reading your Bible. By reading your Bible. And finally, go back to Deuteronomy 17. It says, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. In the midst of Israel. So what are you getting at, Brother Doss? I'm getting at this. By spending time in the Scriptures, it would help the king and his family. It would help keep them. Listen to me. It would help keep them in the land of promise instead of being cut off, exiled, or taken captive. Did that not happen? Did not the king's seed at times get taken out of the land? Yes, they did. The Bible shows that. Well, the Bible says if the king would spend time in the Scriptures, it would prolong his life, the life of his children, in the land. They'd stay there. They'd be kept there. the way to be for them to stay in the land and not be thrust out or taken captive, one of the ways to help keep that from happening was to stay in the Scriptures. Stay in the Scriptures. Go to 2 Timothy 2. We'll close it up here in a second. 2 Timothy 2. See, instead of getting taken captive, they'd be kept in the land. What would help that was if they spent time in the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." Brother, we don't want the devil taking us captive whenever he wants to, and taking us out of where we are in our walk with the Lord. Well, you know, one of the ways will help keep that from happening and keep you safe in the land, as it were, in the spiritual walk with God and in the will of God, spending time in the Scriptures. Spending time in the Scriptures. Now, again, of course, that means obeying the Scriptures. But you can't obey something that you've not read and don't know about. And it just never gets old. Just nonstop. Always, just continually. Go to Deuteronomy 17. And look one more time at verse 18. "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites." I'll remind you again. Look up, examine, and experiment with different ways to expose yourself to the Word of God. Reading aloud, reading silently, listening to it read, studying it, writing it out. All those different ways of exposures will bring up different aspects. I really believe that. Then obey it. Then obey it. Once you've read it, obey it. It shall be with him. Have it with you. If the Bible you use for church or for your study is not convenient, find you one that's convenient for you to take with you, to have with you, to read when you have a chance. "And he shall read therein all the days of his life," always, nonstop, to the day you die. "That he may learn to fear the Lord his God." He'll teach you the fear of the Lord. "To keep all the words of his law." It's given you not just to hear, but to obey. "That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren." Keep you humble. Keep you humble. The studying contempt you to pride. Reading will be the corrective. Keep you humble. "That he turn not aside from the commandment to the left hand and the right." Keep you balanced. Have you the right balance on things if you'll do so. "To the end he may prolong his days." He'll give you life here. Grant you eternal life in Christ. "And his children, they'll get benefited." Again, you read the book. Kids read you. Others read you. "In the midst of Israel." It'll keep you. It'll help keep you safe and from being taken captive out of the land by the enemy. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I can't put into words, Father, the thanks we want to render to you for giving us your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this Bible. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize, Lord. I apologize to you. Father, for the times that I don't avail myself of this treasure that I have. I'm sorry, Lord. It's not your fault, Lord. It's not your fault. You've given me your spirit. You've given me your word. You've given me everything I need, Lord, to profit thereby. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me, dear God, to as highly esteem this treasure as I ought. Help us, Lord, to apply ourselves to this book. It's simply in reading, Lord, that we may reap the benefits given to the King. And I believe, Lord, applies to all of us. And if we're saved, we are kings and priests with thee. Thank you, Father, for this book. Help us to love it. Help us to read it. Help us to obey it. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.